Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Chapter 7, text 143. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Payam payam vajjana ganapema vapi marala Shriman namam ritam aviritam Gokulabda yuditam te Tad tad vishe charita nikaro jimbitam mishta mishtam sarva lokan jagati ramayan matta chesto brahmani. O swan gliding in the lakes of the Vrajrasi's love, I wish that I may wander everywhere, always chanting, drinking the nectar of your names. Those most sweet names arise from the ocean of Gokul and spread the glories of your infinitely varied dress and ways of acting. As I wander, behaving like a madman, may I distribute joy to everyone in all the worlds. Commentary. An emperor... An emperor swan likes to visit various lakes where he swims about and enjoys at liberty unimpeded by lesser birds. And Krishna finds his delight in the hearts of his surrendered devotees. Each heart a unique treasure house of manifold ecstasies and loving dedication. Narada wants to serve Krishna as an exemplary Pratibhrajakacharya, preaching the glories of Harinam Amrita throughout the universe. By chanting Krishna's name, Narada will enjoy the highest pleasure and also share that pleasure with everyone else. The bliss of Harinam will inspire such joy in Narada and his followers in disciplic succession that they will become like intoxicated madmen, laughing, crying, dancing, singing, and sometimes showing all ecstatic symptoms at once. Thus, these devotees will forget their bodily needs and worldly duties. The names Krishna acquires in Gokula are sweeter than the names he acquires anywhere else, including such names as Vishnu, Narayan, Nasingha, Ramachandra, Mathurinath, and Yadavendra. The names of Krishna in Gokul Vrindavan describe qualities of him that cannot be found in any other abode. Only in Vrajabhumi does Krishna place a peacock feather in his hair, gunja ornaments on his ears, and garlands of kadamba flowers around his neck. Only in Vraja does he perform such pastimes as drinking the life air of Putana, breaking the cart in which the demon Shakata was hiding. Only there is he called by such sweet names as Nandanandana, Yashoda Vatsala, Gopika Manohar, and Braja Janananda. Om Gana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Natsur Militam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha. Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Vastakalpa Sarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Payevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Vivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Such a sweet purport. Greetings from New Jersey. Such a sweet purport about the nectar of the names that arise from the ocean of Gokula. Got in quite late last night. I went to the six-hour kirtan in New York, and today I've got a nice program in Forest Hills, Queens, in New York City, of a person I met in the yoga world who has a yoga studio and is arranging a program for me there with great enthusiasm. So that's always nice, because we say the more important than speaking truth, quote, is having truth understood. And if you do have something to share, the ability of the audience to understand depends on their faith. So when you go someplace where people already have faith in you, this lady was in a teacher training program that I had given a lecture, and she has her own studio. She was a lawyer who found her love of passion in life in yoga and has opened up a yoga studio. She heard me speak at that program and then came to my drama as yoga program in New York. And wants me to come out to her studio. And it's nice, too, because, you know, Queens is one of the boroughs of New York. So, you know, everyone has access to New York City. I mean, a lot of the things happen in New York City. So it's probably more of something unique or something to have a Swami come to yoga studio out there. And it is in New York City. But because there's that faith, it enables you immediately to speak at a much deeper level. Or it just opens up the channels of communication. And basically, one thing that culture does in a proper society is open up communication. Because in a proper society, cultured people know how to relate. And one of the ways they relate is respect for authority. Of course, if the authority is improper, that's one thing. But if the authority is proper, it gives them a facility to understand and learn. So I'm pretty excited about that. But last night was the six-hour kirtan, which is held around the city, but the center of it is the Bhakti Center. And it was great. I went there. It was a six-hour kirtan. I went for most of it, and practically all the kirtans were so good, and it's so edifying to see so many regulars that are coming for 6 hours, people that have come through different yoga studios in the city where they've met the devotees, And have become so attached to kirtan, they sit there for 6 hours. I know sometimes people don't understand the preaching in the yoga world. A kind of common comment is why just preach to the people in the yoga world? But the yoga world is where the progressive people, it's not people just practice this yoga. This is where professional people who are interested, who are interested in alternative thought, alternative religion, Eastern religion, where they congregate. So it's the established people in the world, all types of people, but also the established people in the world, where you have an opportunity to communicate with them. So it's opened up a tremendous venue to share the teachings of Eastern thought, and as they're presented and realized through Prabhupada. So it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And I'm reading this purport about the sweet names arising from the ocean of Gokul and how beautiful that is. And payam, payam, drinking. The like a swan drinking avritam without interruption. These names, Harinamamritam, that arise from this ocean. And that the desire is to drink that. The names that arise from the ocean of Vraja Prem, which is the full expression of Prem because it's intimate love, close love, because the object of your love is not distant. He is equal to you, at least externally, in position. Krishna is not higher in position. Krishna is many times lower in position. But he's not lower in person. He's supreme in person. And he gives himself fully, and it's so sweet. It's so sweet. And those names arise from this ocean of Gokula and spread the glories of that sweetness. There's wonderful names of God, but they're not as sweet as the intimate names of God in Vrindavan, which are names of the divine in a relaxed mood, where the divine is himself. The divine is fully expressive of his love. And they spread also the glories of that prema bhakti. And they spread the glories of that divine who has a peacock feather in his head. Just meditate on that. How sweet, how beautiful that is. That our God has a peacock feather in his head, on his head. That's the most beautiful thing in the world. And that peacock feather in his head is expressing his beauty, as is the gunja ornaments on his ears and the garland of kadamba flowers Kadamba flowers are like little yellow golf balls, kind of. I can't describe that size. The Kadamba flowers, and they're so fragrant. To me, it makes so much sense that the Supreme would have full expressive beauty. I remember when I was in the university and I started to get into Krishna consciousness. Maybe a few of you have heard this story before. I started to get into Krishna consciousness, so I kind of lost my taste for social life. My nature is never to move from where I am, even though I have the curse of a sannyasi to be living in different places every few days. But that's not my nature. That's my duty. My nature is just to stay in one room. That's why I'm happiest in Vrindavan, where I don't have to move. I have to do that every year. I think there's strength in that. There's strength in that for bhajan. There's strength in that for studies. There's strength in that for health. Chanakya Pandit says traveling makes a man old. That's why so many people in our renounced order are ill. Sometimes I go off, I just forget my point. Anyway, the beauty is expressed here. It's so sweet, expressive of the heart of the divine. Okay, I'm going to get back to this. You know, I like to just put things quickly in a context, and then we'll get back to this beautiful purport. It continues. Krishna's very happy with Narada because Narada's reminded him of his loved ones. And even though Krishna is in separation from his loved ones, that remembrance of his loved ones is the greatest happiness. And he wants to reciprocate. Prabhupada says, I said this many times, that Krishna doesn't have the defect of impersonality. God doesn't have the defect of impersonality. The whole Krishna consciousness is based on this. Krishna reciprocates with our love when we try to please him. And when you try to please someone, you offer the best. You do things properly. And therefore, a real Krishna-conscious environment, even if it's simple, it's very, very beautiful. Because it's all dedicated to Krishna. And therefore, that environment is clean. That environment is fragrant. That environment is tasty. The food is always good in such an environment. The sounds of that environment are good, even if someone is very, very simple. I was over last week at, it's so nice to have a neighbor like Shamdas. He's only 35 minutes from my place. It's a very simple drive. It's easy to getting to most people, probably their friends in New Jersey. It's a very simple, scenic drive. And he has a very nice house on the bank of the Hudson River. And Radhanath Swami was staying there for 2 days. And I found out, and I sent Shamdas a message, and, you know, I'd like to come over. He invited me for lunch, and I arrived just as they were sitting down for lunch. And we were sitting outside on the porch, like a wood deck, and it overlooked the forest and then the Hudson River. And then Shamdas, he cooked. That's his sadhana. Every morning he cooks for his Thakurji, his deities. And it was very simple because he's been traveling. He didn't have much in the house. But whatever in the house, he made. Whatever is in the house, he made. And it was so simple. There was five or six preparations, traditional Indian cooking, but very, very simple. So that's an environment. The spiritual environment. Very, very wonderful. Anyway, Narada gets this benediction. Krishna reciprocates. So you try to please him. Try to offer. That's a devotee. His life is an offering for pleasure. So things are nice, you offer. You can tell a person's consciousness by his environment. And when he's a devotee, that environment is not only beautiful, because someone can have a beautiful environment for themselves, but a devotee has a beautiful environment for God. So the beauty of his environment is filled with love. And you feel it when you're in that person's environment, by the sounds, by the tastes. Even if it's a simple person. Anyway, Narada pleased Krishna. He reminded him of his beloved. And Narada asked this benediction, that no one will ever have enough of Krishna consciousness at any level of his advancement. The beginning, you need mercy. He says, grant me, they'll never have enough mercy. We always want more mercy. You always require more mercy. Because the more mercy or affection you get from God, the more humble you feel and the more you feel need. And never enough bhakti, that's for the sadhakas, they never have enough service. Service. They want service. All I can want is more service. I remember I was in Mayapur in the winter, and you know, these days, this was in 1981. Just before I took sannyas, I believe, or maybe the year after, but it's 81, 82. Been sannyas almost 30 years. Wow. George Harrison came to Mayapur. I remember I was in Mangal Artik. It was much different than it was now. And I look back, and there he was. And then, tell you, he went around Mayapur. I told this story many times. And there was one devotee from Queens there. And he went so back. He went back before the hippie era. He was a beatnik. And he talked everything daddy. That's how the beatniks talk. I don't know if everybody, there's a hey, daddy. So every time George Harrison, whose hobby was horticulture, asked about a plant, this beatnik devotee named Kanva, who was the most expert gardener, if anybody saw Mayapur at that time, you cannot compare it to now. The gardens were world class. This person was just amazing. And then at the end of a little tour, he knew where every plant is. George Harrison said, why don't you come to my place in Hawaii and you can do the gardens there at least for the summer or something. And I remember I was standing there and this person said to George Harrison, he said, Daddy, I got bucks in the bank and grapes in the cupboard. The only thing I can want is more service. And wanting more service is not just the act of service, but it is the attitude of service. Because the attitude of service is the spiritual position. A spiritual person sees through the eyes of service. We could look at our own consciousness. And how do we see things? And it depends how we see objects. Do we see objects only for us or primarily for us? Or do we see objects in terms of the pleasure of others? And specifically the pleasure of God, which is inclusive of others. And it's also we see for others. Vaishnav means for others. Yesterday at the 24-hour kirtan, there was the religious editor or something like that of the New York Times. And she came over to me and just said, it was so spectacular. I mean, the kirtans were just wow. You know, and you had Achyuta Gopi and Ananta, and wow, they were so on. And then they had a Pushpa Abhishek, and then the flowers were, and she was really, Yasoda Dulal, he runs it, and it's such a pleasure to have a function run properly. You know, even though it was a heat wave in New York, they had two air conditioners and fans. I didn't sweat at all in there. And that place doesn't have circulation. So he's very, very thoughtful, Yasoda Dulal. I think he's vice president of American Express, something like that, or financial director or something he's got. But it's nice. He's using it in Krishna's service. It's very nicely organized in many, many ways. Anyway, he came to me, said, you know, I think that the people, many new people here, they won't understand the function here. Maybe you can explain it. So I went up to explain it, and explained it something like this, that material consciousness means that you put yourself in the center. And that enjoyment becomes the object of your life, not just a need that you have. It's somehow in your consciousness it becomes an object. You may understand Krishna conscious philosophy, but if you look through your eyes, you see objects and people in relationship to your satisfaction rather than seeing yourself in relationship to others' satisfaction and objects in relationship to others' satisfaction. So I explained the Vaishnava, that's egoism, and it's the root of all misery because misery is egoism. Misery is selfishness. Misery is a lack of love flowing through the heart. So I said in Krishna, you change it. You change that. How do you change it? You start seeing those objects. In other words, the first thing you do is you put God in the center. and look at objects in relationship to God's pleasure. And I don't want to narrow God. In Nectar Devotion, it says, it includes his differentiated energies. Anyway, there's a shift. God is in the center. And I explained how that's done through the deity. I did it in 5 minutes, how that's explained through the deity and basically what the deity is. But basically, it changes your perception of objects when you actually put the deity in the center of your home. The bread box, the refrigerator ceases to become a place for you. And those objects become for the pleasure of God. It's a complete change in consciousness. It takes the world and transfers it to the. It starts putting you in the seeing the world through the mood of Seva Bhav. So important to do service. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He really, really stressed service. More than studies, actually. Of course, there can be an excess of that, too. But that's where he felt the balance had to be, to do service, to actually put your body, your mind, in a position of service. So Narada says, there should never be enough mercy, there should never be enough service, there should never, for the mature people, there should never be enough love. And Krishna was saying, well, why don't you, of course, this is obvious. There'll never be enough of these things for the devotee. A neophyte will never have enough. So you're asking something, and he says, oh, all these devotees are perfect. You visited so many devotees. No, there's no formal ranking. Does not exist among Vaishnavas. There's no formal ranking. You know, the what is it? The top pound for pound devotee. There's no formal ranking. But there's a difference in excellences. This is a very subtle point. Yet none are ever satiated. So Narada was pretty ecstatic. He understood both points. The topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy, but without a formal ranking. And that no one was lacking who loves Krishna fully and from whatever position they are. This is in the perfection. This is in practical life. This is the wonder of bhakti. That wherever you're at, you can give yourself fully to God. And then you become perfect. And therefore, we have verses like, Aho Swapachoto Tugriyan Yajivagre Vartate Nama Tugyan. That one who has that mood of service. And therefore, Jiva Gre Vartate Nama Tubyam, he is repeating Jiva Gre, even one name. That is a perfect person. Swapacho Tugriyan, even if he's a dog eater, even if he's in that culture, if one has the humility to call out to God with love, that's perfect. But then Narada says, I achieved my goal now. I'm satisfied. But I have one desire. The benediction, for me, it's the greatest. I'm satisfied with this. I'm satisfied with you already. I don't need any, but I have, and then he quotes this verse, and it's so beautiful. A swan gliding in the lakes of the Brijvasi's love. That's Krishna. This is where Krishna resides. Like a swan. He visits various lakes. He swims about and enjoys unimpeded. When I was in, just before Srila Tamal Krishnamurti passed away, I remember that with somewhat of a heavy heart. We were walking along the Thames outside his place in Oxford. And we saw the queen's swans. They are transcendental looking. Lotuses and swans are things in this world, but when you look at them, they have a beauty that's almost super sensuous. My first experiences of Krishna consciousness were super sensuous. Before that, I was used to pleasure being sensuous. This was some other quality that was super sensuous. That's what brought me to Krishna consciousness. It's an experience of the holy name and an experience of prasadam that was super sensuous. It was a sensual experience that was connected with the awakening of the soul, which is more beautiful and more pleasurable than any sensual object, because pleasure is inherently love. Pleasure is inherently from the heart, a flow of love that's divine, and it's another realm that one has never previously experienced. So a swan is like that. And Krishna is compared to a swan because he's delighting in something very beautiful. What is it? It's the hearts of his surrendered devotees. He delights in the hearts of those who give oneself to God fully. And each heart is a unique treasure house of manifold ecstasies and loving dedication. We exist to be unique in the offering of ourselves to God. And spiritual life means to discover that. It's called self-realization. Who are we as a receptacle of love and dedication and ecstasy? And we are valuable in terms of the existence, in terms of that function. And that's perfect. That's our natural state. And Krishna appears in unlimited ways to each devotee. He has a unique mercy even to deliver us in this world. And he has a unique mercy in his revelation of himself to us in reciprocation for our love. Narada wants to serve as Parivrajakacharya. This is his unique ecstasy and dedication. And by doing this, he will enjoy the highest pleasure and also share that pleasure with everyone else. And people who have this pleasure, actually, they just become overwhelmed with ecstasy. because it's a divine, it's something that can please God. How good is that? And it flows through your heart. What does that feel like? And Narada wants to be in those places where this type of love is expressed. That's why I went yesterday from going into Manhattan to finding a parking space, which is not too bad on the weekend, risking what, I don't know, I thought maybe it'd be hot. I didn't care. I wanted to be there. And this is a wonderful phenomena that's happening in Prabhupada's mission. People are just into chanting, and there's so many people that are expert in chanting. And there's so many functions of chanting, and Satchinanda Swami have a 5-day, 12-hour-a-day Harinam festival. How wonderful. And he wants to distribute this joy. Now he continues, whether by speaking, thinking, hearing, or physical contact, if any person in this world comes in touch even once with these pastimes of yours and is convinced of their importance, may he be endowed eternally with the power to worship your lotus feet in pure love, feet resplendent with the saffron dust from the pitcher-like breast of the beloved gopis. So now, Narada's first request, after Krishna said, no, you should ask something more. He wanted to wander and spread Krishna's glories, and he wanted those who come in contact with them and have faith in them. Be endowed eternally with the power to worship in prema bhakti. Narada now submits his second request. He wants to be assured by the Lord's personal promise that anyone in the future who directly or indirectly experiences the transcendental nectar of Krishna's Vrindavan's pastimes will be blessed to relish the taste of pure love. When he says kaschidati, anyone at all, Narada means the prerequisites as to caste or any other qualifications, material or spiritual, be put aside, because Krishna's glories and Krishna's devotees are all merciful. Simply coming in contact with them should automatically make one, even the most uncivilized, wretched person, pious or fortunate. Very, very powerful. I mean, the experience of Vrindavan and the experience of Krishna's pastimes, we just have to be, without offense, Bhurijan Prabhu, a very wise person, once said to me, you know, just joking about the history of ISKCON, but it's not a joke. We were all pure until we got the taste for power or something, you know. The circumstances of... This is the problem. The problem is that when a movement grows, there has to be some process of socialization so that the values that you value, or what you value and cherish, can be transferred and nourished in the people who are gathered, which now need some social organization. And then, in the mood of compassion, there has to be some organization to spread that. And of course, with that comes the difficulty of hierarchy and authoritarian dynamics, which psychologists are well aware of. What position does to people who do not have a sufficiently mature mood of service, which is most people. So when you have young people who are not culturally elevated, they are susceptible. And they've done studies on this. But somehow or other, some form of organization has to be there. When people are not cultured and they're less than 30 years old, so they don't have they cannot draw on the experience of tradition which they didn't grow up in, nor can they draw on the experience of maturity which they have not yet attained, then there's difficulties. But here, Narada now submits he wants this. And it's universal, no prerequisite. That's the beauty of bhakti. Again, whatever you have, you give. Remembrance of Krishna naturally arises in the heart of one who meets a pure devotee of Krishna and hears from him about Krishna's pastimes. The only qualification the hearer of Krishna Katha needs that he be kritta di, eager to hear and ready to trust the authority of Krishna's representatives who speak his message. Equipped with this one quality of confident determination to hear with faith, a Vaishnava can remember Krishna vividly by listening to the accounts of his pastimes and visiting the places where he performed them. As mentioned earlier, the gopis told Uddhava when they met him in Vrindavan, quote, "Dear Uddhava Prabhu, when Krishna is here in the company of Sankarsana, he enjoyed all these rivers, hills, forests, cows, and flute sounds. All these remind us constantly of Narada's son, of Nanda's son, excuse me. Indeed, because we see Krishna's footprints, which are marked with divine symbols, we can never forget him." So, remembrance of Krishna is awakened not only by hearing his glories and the glories of his land, Vrindavan, but also by direct physical contact. Vaishnavas can physically touch Krishna's glories in the form of the book Srimad Bhagavatam. They can hear about Sri Vrindavan Dham from Bhagavatam, and then, if fortunate, they can come to Vrindavan to bathe in the dust on which Krishna and his dear most devotees have walked. So wonderful to come to Vrindavan and to visit Vrindavan. I guess, let's see, yes, it's about, for me, it's about 2 more months. And I am definitely looking forward to that atmosphere, which is surcharged with the service of Krishna. It's like a city, and it extends 3 states where everyone is a devotee of Krishna. So, barring the fact that there's a lack of civic consciousness by culture, because Indians grew up in villages, You know, they grew up in a biodegradable atmosphere, so they naturally throw things, but now things are no longer biodegradable. But regardless of everything, that environment, I'm thinking of it right now. I'm thinking of my neighbors who are Vaishnavas. I'm missing every one of them. Okay, are there any questions? Oh, wait, I have to unmute the whole thing. One second. Would anybody like to ask any questions? Someone please say hello so I know that.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Gail, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Well, first I want to say that I did hear your Come to Vrindavan plug. But the main
thing
I want to say.
Gail, it's not me. Yeah, I'm going to read. And then, if fortunate enough, they can come to Vrindavan to bathe in the dust on which Krishna and his dearmost devotees have walked. That's the text.
Uh-huh.
Not my plug.
But you're emphasizing.
Gail, that's, what do you mean emphasizing? That's, it's true. That's my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Gail, do you know about the, anybody in Jersey on the, I think it's the 13th, we're having a little Julanyaka.
Yeah.
You know
I got the email. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's fun
also,
to go.
Say again?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, just that he knows how many people. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking, I know one of the obstacles for my coming in contact with Vrindavan dust is also my unwillingness to leave my room. I'm not a traveler. But anyway.
Hey, take my example how I transcended all that.
Yeah, yeah. But the main thing I wanted to express
you should go
was,
with Siddhita. You should go with Siddhita Bhattacharya.
Yeah. Yeah.
First enter Mayapur. Where the offense is.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What did you say?
But, yeah, the main thing I wanted to express today, Maharaj, was, you know, my gem of the day was when you made that clarification that, that, you know, the desire for service is really the asking for the desire to be disposed to be at Krishna's service, to want to, is the desire for that mood, you know, which of course, you know, would culminate in the activity too, if, you know, when presented with the opportunity. But, you know, the fact that, you know, it's really a desire for that mood to be disposed to pleasing Krishna, you know, rather than a desire for the activity, you know,
right.
You know,
I mean,
than that being
connected, but the prime thing is the mood. Prajumna, he was giving the seminar that and the scholars conference. He said, "Bhakti means to make oneself available for Krishna."
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, really nice way to say it. Okay. Well, thank you much.
Thank you, Gail. Anybody else have any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gautam Bhattadas.
Yes, Hare Krishna. Very nice. Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. Hare Krishna. Anyone else like to say hello?
Maharaj, good morning.
good morning, Anjali.
Thank you for the class. I keep saying, when will that day be mine? That all this love you talk about, I can experience or give it or have it. Just keep up the classes, Maharaj. It's so wonderful. Thank you.
Well, Anjali, it says here that even when that day is yours, you'll still feel, when is that day is mine? Because a devotee will never feel he has enough mercy, enough service, enough love. So thank you, Mother Anjali. Thank you.
Thank you, Mother.
Okay. Anyone else like to say hello?
Hari Bol, Maharaj.
Shastra, did you leave my harmonium at...
Yes, I did, Maharaj.
Okay, I'm going to go pick it up there tomorrow. We made a compromise. Good. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Thank you all so much. Panchapapa Trubhyascha, Kripa Shindhu Vibhichapa Titaram Bhavani Bhu, Vaishnavi Bhu Namo Namo.